This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. Matt, just getting that echo in my ear, if we can clear that up. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Amal Shaw there at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Wyatt sitting in for Dustin Sweetelson. Mike Randall's going to join us, Chief Content Officer at FTN Network. You can find Mike on Twitter at Randall Rant. Of course, we say, hi, Mike, how are you? Okay, I think we're pulling up Mike. Let's go ahead and say hi to Mike Randall here on Sharp Money. Hi, Mike, how are you? I think I can hear him. Amal, can you hear
I heard
Mr.
Happy
Randall?
Friday, and then I think we lost him.
Okay, we'll pull him down for a second and get him readjusted, yeah. And we'll get him right back up. Mike Randall, of course, FTN Network coming up here on Sharp Money. Mike does a great job. He goes deep into the numbers. If you like fantasy, if you like sports betting, Mike Randall and FTN Network is a must. You were just mentioning right before we came back that you were going to look to roll it. I don't know if you saw the quotes from Joe Burrow, but all of a sudden now he's bullish on that calf. Right, I don't know if it's the sharp money effect, but he's the quotes coming out from your boy Burrow. He's good to go.
I love it. Gonna need him.
All right, Mike Randall, as we say hi again and try it one more time. Mike, nice to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Happy Friday. Happy hour. Good time. A lot of stuff going on. Big NFL weekend, college football. Happy to be joining you as always.
And it's great to see you. Look great. Let's get right into your card. No time to waste. You're going to zig while everybody's zagging. The Patriots, everything's falling apart, and this is a good time to pick up the three with the Patriots at the Raiders.
It certainly is, guys. Bill Belichick's team has lost its last two games by a combined 72-3. Has there been a better buy-low spot on one of the greatest coaches in the NFL? Main reason the Patriots have struggled have been turnovers. Mac Jones, three in back-to-back weeks. We have pick sixes happening all over the place. The question is, can the Raiders do that? I don't think they can. Their turnover differential, -7 entering this week, and that's with the three big turnovers they had against Jordan Love. Now, the issue with the Patriots is they can stop the run, and they can limit opposing wide receiver ones. They are 9th in run defense DVOA per Aaron Schatz, and they are number 2 in DVOA against opposing wide receiver ones. So if the Raiders struggled to run Josh Jacobs against the Packers' sieve of a run defense, what's going to happen against the Patriots? Finally, Josh McDaniels. I'm sorry, Raiders fans, not good in these situations. McDaniels just 9-12 against the spread as a head coach, as a favorite. 3-7 as a home favorite of 3 or more points. And with the Raiders, McDaniels, when he's been a favorite at home by 3 or more points, 1-3 with 3 outright losses. Per Bet Labs, I'm taking the Patriots here with the 3 points. Like them on the money line as well.
Patrick, I like this call here. Let's just hope McDaniels is not in the Lexus Lounge calling this game and he's actually on the sideline near his players for once.
He does like to roam a little bit, no doubt. You're up, Amal.
Yeah, let's go with the Texans-Saints game here. I like your call here. You're going with the dog here, getting 1.5, the Houston Texans. Tell us why you're on Houston in this matchup.
Enough of the Saints, guys. Fourth road game in their last 5 matchups here. Find me a team that has benefited from their schedule more than the Saints. They beat Tennessee 16-15 with 3 interceptions from Tannehill. They beat Carolina 20-17 on the road. Congratulations on that. Blew the 17-point lead at Green Bay. Lost to Tampa Bay at home, and then they played New England. Everything fell apart. I am fading them here again. Texans offensive line is getting healthier, which I like. C.J. Stroud has been phenomenal. Over 1,400 yards in 5 games, 7 touchdowns, yet to throw an interception or lose a fumble. Texans pass rush should disrupt Derek Carr like they disrupted Kenny Pickett, and they held up against the Steelers rush. I think they do it here. The spot, like I said, 4th road game in 5 weeks. Little faith here in a Saints offensive line that are allowing sacks at a high rate with Derek Carr, who is a weeble. So I will take the Texans here as a slight underdog at home.
You got the stats, you got the trends, you got the angles, you got the tri-state accent, you got Mike Randall, FTN Network, at Randall Rant on Twitter. Vikings Bears. Now, the Vikings, that was an emotional spot at home against Kansas City. No Justin Jefferson. They're at the Bears. All of a sudden, the Bears are a juggernaut. You're going to go over the 43.5 here, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to go over because our overs on our FTM model are scalding hot. When we have a 9% edge or higher through 5 weeks, guys, totals 10-1 so far in the FTM model. We have a 13.3% edge here. Not hard to see why. Justin Fields, back-to-back weeks of 4 touchdown passes. Bears defense still ranks 31st in DVOA. Remember, they gave up 388 passing yards to Sam Howell. They got off to the big start. They won that game, but they still allowed stuff. Minnesota is going to have to push the pace even without Justin Jefferson. They rank 29th overall in neutral game script, and they allow and they only rush for 80.8 rushing yards per game, so they're not going to control the ball on the ground. So you have a Vikings team that is not great here against opposing wide receiver ones. Hello, DJ Moore, just 230 yards and 3 touchdowns. So let's summarize it. 2 poor defenses, a Chicago offense that is hot, and a Vikings offense that needs to score points to compete. Big betting edge here on our FTN betting model. Sounds good to me over in this matchup.
Mike, I love that call there. Before we go across the pond, I love the fact that you've got the Steve Smith Jr. jersey up there. Are you going to have a Jerry Jeudy jersey up there soon?
I'm going to tell you this. I am very selective in the jerseys I have. If you notice behind me, that is Bo Jackson, the greatest athlete these eyes have ever seen, and Steve Smith because he is real. Yes, it's because he caught the touchdown pass in the Meadowlands and broke his arm and still got the touchdown, but it's also because he keeps it real. I love what he said about Jeudy, and Jeudy, the response, non-existent here. So that's why I have them up there. I back both of those guys.
I love that breakdown. Let's go across the pond. Titans, Ravens, you like this game under the 42. Tell us a little bit what you think is going to transpire in this one.
Yeah, Ravens number 2 in rush defense DVOA per FTN, but the Titans are also great against the run. I don't care that Zach Moss went 70 yards up the middle. That was an anomaly. This is a run defense that is normally very, very strong. Home matchups, I know this is over the pond, across the pond, 66 rushing yards per game. Titans 31st in pace. Why? They have no offense. They need to slow the game down here. And you guys know as well as I do that this Todd Monken Baltimore Ravens offense that we thought was going to be fireworks has not exactly been that with Lamar Jackson. Yes, they had a lot of drops. This number is a little high, but the Ravens and Titans 2-8 to the under this year. We are going under in London with these two match with these two teams.
Speaking of offense, maybe when the Cowboys visit LA and the Chargers, they can take their offensive coordinator back home to Dallas. Maybe you'd like the Chargers catching 2.5 here, Mr. Randall.
Yeah, we always like revenge games, guys. I had this one circled here for the fantasy selections. Revenge game for Kellen Moore. They're coming off a bye. Herbert's had a chance to rest his hand. Austin Eckler coming back. And I have concerns about Dak Prescott. CeeDee Lamb sort of following the Jerry Jeudy model of disappearing in some of these matchups. The offense has not been able to generate a lot on the ground with Tony Pollard. They got destroyed against San Francisco last week. I know they stayed out on the West Coast, and they're targeting this game. I think the Chargers are a balanced team. I don't know why they're the underdog. There'll be a lot of Cowboy fans out there with the Chargers, but I like the Chargers plus 2.5. They've had a week off now to get Quentin Johnston into the offense for Mike Williams. Their offensive line is solid. That's where I'm going here. I think it's a coin flip game, so you're going to give me 2 points, 2.5, whatever it is. I will take it with the Chargers.
Patrick, you know I'm going to agree with Mike on this one. This is my small dog play of the week in terms of the Chargers. I was surprised they were a home dog in this spot here, Mike. Let's stay in the same stadium, but about 36 hours in advance of that, or maybe a little bit less than that. Cardinals and the Rams, you have the under in this one at 49 right now, down to 48. But also, just give me your assessment of the Rams and Cardinals quickly afterwards.
Yeah, very quickly. Listen, I understand this one is a hold-your-nose spot, but we have a 16.6% edge on this one at the FTM model. The last time we had it is with Dallas and Arizona when I was on with you guys as well, and we went with Arizona. The model has been hot. These are two teams that are familiar with each other. This is a Cardinals offense that the clock maybe has struck 12 on Josh Dobbs, who is not good last week. They are struggling on offense. The Arizona defense has to show up here, and they're going to have to slow the game down and slow the pace. The Rams can get up early. So I think we're covered either way with the under. I think either this game is close, in which case Arizona was able to disrupt the Rams offense, or I think that it's a blowout, in which case I don't think Arizona is going to be able to put up enough points. So this number is a little bit high for me. These are two teams that are high scoring. I understand that, but the model likes it, and so do I. I think the Rams, obviously very dangerous. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. I think what we're seeing here is players who play above their head finally start coming back to earth, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen with the Cardinals. Like Josh Dobbs, done a great job, but he's struggled last week, and I think it may continue this week against the Rams unless they can control the pace.
Mike Randall, FTN, the numbers are sharp. The Patriots catch the 3. The Texans catch the 1.5. Vikings, Bears over 43.5. Titans, Ravens under 42. Catch the 2.5 with the Chargers versus the Cowboys. And Cardinals, Rams under 49. So I guess the only discussion, we're all about the same age. So Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders as far as the greatest athletes we've ever seen, boys. But the question for you, Mike Randall, in 1.5, who is the best running back you've ever seen?
Best running back I've seen is Barry Sanders, and it's a shame we were not able to see him in the playoffs, but it's the elusivity, it's the production, it's the humbleness getting to the end zone, and gosh, guys, he never really had a solid quarterback, but people say that. They look at us old guys and say, oh, you're crazy. No, I'm not. LT was great. Walter Payton was great, but for my money, it was Barry Sanders. The elusivity, the moves. He could also run you over at the goal line. Guy was a legend. Best running back I've ever seen.
Mike, you're crazy.
Well, Scott Mitchell, that's the correct answer.
It's the only answer. That's the only answer. It's not even correct. Yeah. That's the only answer.
It is the only – well, let's have a little more fun then. The best quarterback you've seen in your lifetime. Now, I'll just give – I'll give it away. The two that are sitting here with you right now, just as far as raw talent, what we saw with our very own eyes, we went with John Elway.
That's fair. You know, I remember when it was John Elway can't win the big game before the drive. That's how old I am. John Elway's fantastic, and trust me, this pains me to say it. It is Tom Brady, only because Brady has won indoors. Outdoors. You've seen him perform comebacks back and forth. Some people like Montana. Mike Francesa here in New York loves Montana. I get that. But if you look at the totality of a career, MVPs, awards, and rings, gotta be Brady for me. And it pains me to say it.
Mr. Shaw, do you have a retort?
Well, based on the way he said it, I thought he was Brady's agent, Don Yee.
I know.
You're the best, Randall. At Randall Rant, FTN Network. We'll talk to you next week. That's Thanks. Mike Randall. We're going to come back. Steve Smith Sr. had something to say about Jerry Jeudy.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, got you back here on a Friday. We can call it a football Friday. This is, what, October 13th in the Lord's year 2023. I would say, like, this time of the year, it's on, Amal's laughing because he knows what I'm about to say. It's like they pay us to do this. This is unbelievable. Even with the loser last night with West Virginia at Houston, it still felt good. You had Thursday night football. You had 3 college games. Obviously, playoff baseball. Apologies to Wyatt with his Braves getting bounced, but we do have the Final Four in baseball set. The Phillies are $1.70 favorite over Arizona, plus 145 coming back the other way. The battle for Texas, 120 on the Rangers. The Astros are favored at $1.40. Of course, you've got 4 matchups in the top 25 coming up this weekend. It's an awesome weekend. USC, Notre Dame, we're going to get to. UCLA, Oregon State. Maybe that's the undercard in the Pac-12, but that's a hell of a football game in Corvallis, which we can touch on in just a little bit. We were talking about the ho-hum win for Kansas City last night. That was on Amazon. Al Michaels seemed like he wanted to be there. Pause. Not at all. But Taylor was there, so it does appear that Travis and Taylor are going well, so we're all happy for them. Love is good. However, you know, I don't know if Steve Smith Sr., I didn't realize he was in broadcasting, but apparently he is, and he has a podcast as well. I think it's for the NFL Network. And yesterday, during one of his live hits, there was some drama. Now, I don't know if you saw it live, Amal Shaw, but you're smiling like you did. We do actually have the clip. Apparently what happened was Steve Smith Sr. has, and again, he was a good to very good wide receiver. Undersized, coming out of Utah, had a long career. He's 44 years old now. He was always known for being outspoken. He was always known for being sensitive. He was always known for being very... how would you say, competitive? Is that fair to categorize him as competitive?
Hyper-competitive, yes.
Hyper-competitive might be a better way of explaining it. And apparently he's taken his hyper-competitiveness from the football field to the broadcast booth. And he was doing a hit, a stand-up there at Kansas City. And Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, kind of been talked about as a potential trade target for the Denver Broncos, was walking by. And apparently on Steve Smith Sr.'s podcast, he called Judy a jag. You know what a jag is?
Just another guy.
Just a guy. Which ain't cool. I mean, this is, you know, it's interesting because I wrote it down. This is now in the last week. This is the third where it's an analyst on television kind of doing what we do. We give out picks and then we just shoot from the hip about our opinions about people. So if I call somebody a jag, I'm a donk on VSiN. I could do that. You're on NBC. You're on Amazon. How about your boy Harrison going after Wilson? How about Dante Whitner going after Prescott, calling him trash? Like, this is the third such occurrence in less than a week. Let's go ahead and roll it, and we'll come back and have a discussion. Here's Steve Smith Sr. explaining what happened with Jerry Jeudy.
I called out to him because on my podcast, Cut To It, I just talked about guys that maybe have not showed up in a way or in a manner. And so the word that I've used to describe him in the past was a jag, just a guy.
Just a guy.
And so when I saw him, he's playing well. I wanted to say to him face to face, like, hey, I know I said some things in the past I probably shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. That's what I wanted to say to him. His response, Mike Rob and Bucky, was ninja.
Ninja?
Yes, I'm using the word ninja. I'm just using the word ninja. I don't mess with you. And it was a curse word. And so I was like, all right. And then he repeated it. So I'll say it again. I'm sorry that I said you were a jag, just a guy who's an average wide receiver that you use a first round pick on that isn't doing anything. I hope today that you actually show up in a way that you haven't showed up in the last couple of years since they draft you. So if you ever got a problem with Agent 89, I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver that they eventually will move on. And when teams call me and asking, should they trade for you? I will say, no, don't trade for Jerry Jeudy because he's mentally unable to handle constructive criticism from people who watch specifically, can he be a wide receiver? He could be a wide receiver. He's a tier three. Go back into the studio. I'm done now. Thank you.
Wide receiver three, tier three. So he went from apologizing to ethering him passive aggressively all in one package. Just an absolute masterclass in passive aggressive broadcasting from Steve Smith Sr. right there. You got to love it. You got to love it.
I absolutely loved it because the one thing about Steve Smith Sr., and you know this, Patrick, he's a guy who's not going to back down. I was actually surprised that we didn't have a scrap before the game and Jeudy was ejected for fighting with one of the people covering the game. I mean, if he was on that side of the field, it might have turned into a scrap. I love the fact that Steve Smith Sr. stayed on point with it. Look, I was going to apologize. The way he responded, I'm not going to. And he called him out for exactly what he is. When you think about the receivers that came out of Bama, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, unfortunately, Henry Ruggs had obviously that crime and he's in jail now. But you look at Jerry Jeudy, he was probably the worst of the four. And he's been exactly that. You can argue the quarterback situation hasn't been great, but I got to tell you, watching Denver, I never see Jerry Jeudy getting separation.
Well, he did. Well, to be fair to Jerry Jeudy, he must have been inspired after a little dust up with Steve Smith Sr. before the game because he went out and lit up the stat sheet for 3 catches and 14 yards. So I would disagree with you in saying that he wasn't inspired. Look, he came on towards the end of last year a little bit, but like you said, he was maybe that fourth guy in that rich wide receiver class coming out. Again, to call him a jag, I think it was a bit shocking to me. The whole entire setup to me is what's shocking. The fact that Steve Smith Sr. was going to go to apologize to him. That's a big man right there.
I love it. Give him a ton of credit. I respect people that do that, and especially in that situation. By the way, this reminds me of the situation when George Lynch was with the Lakers and he was complaining he wasn't getting playing time. And he goes to Coach Smith, and Coach Smith says, George, just enjoy the money. Hey, Jerry, don't worry about it. You're tier three. You stole first-round money. You shouldn't have been probably at this point in time. Just enjoy it because he's going to be NFL, not for long.
Yeah, I mean, look, and it's also I don't know how much we can pin when talking about Russell Wilson yesterday, who was 13 of 22 for 95. I don't know how much we can pin on Sean Payton. I do know I feel bad for Sean Payton's gum. Like, can we get that dude a fresh stick of gum? Like, why is he going so hard on that thing? Like, it's just awkward to watch. And then secondly, it's time to fade this team. Like, if we weren't fading this team coming in, defensively, they're atrocious. Now, yesterday, they kind of showed up as far as preventing Kansas City from scoring. But if you take a look right now, Denver, who's 1-5, they host Green Bay. And we could take a look at the number for next week. Green Bay at Denver is laying 2.5. So, well, DraftKings is sitting 1.5 with that number with Green Bay at Denver.
Well, health on Green Bay is going to be crucial in terms of how you evaluate this game. They've had so many injuries, but Jordan Love's been inconsistent. I think this is a game that Denver could potentially steal. That's going to be crucial. Patrick, I tend to throw out the Thursday night performances, even if it's great or if it's poor. That short turnaround in 96 hours makes it very difficult.
Right.
I just don't put a lot of stock in it. Whether you play well or you play poorly, for me, that's just one that everybody has to go through and you just deal with it. But overall, I agree with you. I think this team needs to be faded. I was a little bit surprised last week they were the home favorite against the New York Jets. I didn't understand that one. And now you're starting to see here in this situation against a Green Bay team that's been inconsistent, they are the favorite. Excuse me, they're the home dog. I think you said Packers are 2, 2.5, correct?
The Packers are 1.5.
Oh, 1.5,
favorite,
okay.
At Denver.
Yeah, yep. It doesn't come as much of a surprise now. Those 3 additional days could be beneficial for this team. But I just am not ready to back the Denver Broncos in too many spots. It's really tough to do. And remember, the Packers are coming off of a bye as well. So that's probably why you're seeing them as the favorite here.
All right, let's do this. We got Kenny White, who's a legend in the game, coming up in just about 6 minutes. Let's get to our producer, Wyatt, who's got an SEC survivor pool. Now, we're not going to get to the full pool right now here, Wyatt, so we can carry it over after Kenny. But why don't you set us up where we are for the listeners, and we can kind of solve this riddle as the show progresses.
Yeah, so one of my buddies asked me if I want to be in a SEC survivor pool. I was like, hey, I've never done anything like this before. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. And it's been really addicted and fun. I'm now 7 weeks in and I'm still alive, but I screwed up them all and I need your help and I need Patrick's help as well. I've got to figure out where to play Vanderbilt. I thought I could go because it's 13 weeks in a season, but I forgot there's 2 bye weeks. So I have to use Vanderbilt. This week, obviously, I'm not going to do that unless I want to lose all my money. I'm probably going to go with Florida, but so far I've used Auburn, Missouri, Texas A&M, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi State. This week, I'll probably use Florida. I've got Arkansas, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, LSU, Bama, and Georgia still available.
First of all, I object to the
and they've got Georgia this weekend, so that's why it's mentioning he's not going to use Vandy this weekend. To be fair, they do have Georgia. Go ahead, Amal.
I object to you using Florida this weekend. They're at South Carolina. That's not going to be an easy game. I like the Gamecocks in that game, and I would use Alabama. You got Arkansas. Alabama's got some tougher games still yet to come. They've got Kentucky. They've got Tennessee next weekend. I think this is a good spot for Alabama at home. I would look at Vandy in 1 of 2 spots, November 4th at home against Auburn or in the rivalry game against Tennessee on the final regular season Saturday.
Okay, I do have
November 4th.
Have that at November 4th against Auburn. I'm thinking about that
one.
So
you got to take a chance there.
That's the one. Vandy's schedule. They've got Georgia this weekend. They head to Mississippi. They've got Auburn, they go to Williams-Brice in South Carolina, and then they head to Tennessee. I don't think there's a question. I think you have to use them against Auburn, no, Amal?
100%. It's Auburn or Tennessee because the rivalry at Tennessee, but Auburn it is.
100%.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com. Check out the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see the changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSIN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game over at VSIN.com. We got you back here on a Football Friday. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Amal Shaw, Wyatt sitting in for Dustin, doing a great job. And we welcome in one of the OGs. This name in the sports betting circles is held in high reverence. That is Kenny White, CBS Sports HQ, and KennyWhiteSports.com. You can find Kenny on Twitter, 8KWhiteyVegas. And we say, hi, Kenny. Nice to see you.
Hey, Patrick, I'm all good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Looking sharp in the VGK sweater, no doubt. Let's start tonight, college football, primetime, Stanford at Colorado. We just talked about it, maybe a pitch count for Travis Hunter, but looks like the two-way star is going to return. We're sitting 12.5 on the number and 58.5, Kenny, on the total.
Yeah, I like Colorado in this game. It's more of a fade against Stanford. Troy Taylor's, you know, he came into Stanford. I think he's going to do a good job. Came from Sacramento State. It's a really sharp offensive mind. Young guy, 34 years old. So, you know, he's probably got a probably a player's coach. He's probably, you know, he's on their wavelength. Not that much older than the player. So, but he's got a rebuilding job to do there. They're not as good as Colorado. And I think getting Travis Hunter back tonight, it's a big help. He is one of the more valuable players in college football. I have him a point on the offensive side and a point on the defensive side. And I couldn't argue if it was more than a point defensively, because I think that's more where his strength is. They've already got Xavier Weaver. I think maybe Weaver might be a first round pick. So he's not their best wide receiver, but I think he's their best D-back. So Deion's going to be ready. His team will be ready. Shador is an outstanding quarterback. They have better players than Stanford does. And it's amazing that it was done in 1 year.
Yeah, the juice with that Stanford program started off hot but kind of faded quickly. It's going to be a long rebuild there on the farm. Kenny White joining us here, Sharp Money. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina. My alma mater, Williams-Brice, is going to be lit, Mr. White. And that is South Carolina, Shane Beamer and the boys hosting Florida. We were just talking to our producer, Wyatt, who's got an SEC Survivor contest. He wants to use the Gators. You can't be using the Gators in a spot like this against my Gamecocks. Let's go. 2.5 South Carolina lane at Kenny, 50 on the total.
Yeah, I had no idea, Patrick. That was your alma mater, but I really like Shane Beamer. I love what I see out of this guy. He not just coached under his dad, so it wasn't nepotism. He's coached under 4 or 5 Hall of Fame coaches. This guy knows what he's doing. I've watched the program for a couple years now. He is the real deal. He just needs to continue to recruit and get better players, because he knows how to coach them up. That's for sure. They were playing good football last week, a bad week against Tennessee. But Spencer Rattler, I think, is just going to be just fine here in this game. Florida is a few years away, maybe 1 year away, I think, from maybe being back on track. But this team we saw, really what they were when they went to Utah, is a team that has got some rebuilding to do, I think the Gators do. So I have the South Carolina Gamecocks 3 points better in my power ratings. I got 4.5 for home court, home field. I made the game 7.5, and I've been successful with South Carolina this year.
Kenny, yeah, Maul, just quickly on that, I had another Sharp text me this morning, so that's two Sharps along with Kenny White, that they love the Gamecocks under the 3. So you can find 2 in the market, 2.5 shown at DraftKings. I love to hear that corroboration from Mr. White. Go ahead, Amal.
I like this call. Kenny, I'm surprised this number is as short as it is in this matchup here. I want to go to the MAC. Eastern Michigan hosting Kent State. This Golden Flashes team comes in at 1-5, has really struggled. And before you get into the breakdown, Patrick, this team has scored 80 points in 6 games. They've scored 42 points against FBS competition in 5 games. They got 38 points against Central Connecticut State. This offense is an absolute horror show.
They are the bottom of my power ratings in the FBS teams, Amal. So, yeah, the worst team in college football right now. Rebuilding mode, new coach. Kenny Burns is in there. So, you know, they've got a long ways to go. Now, Northern Illinois is a team that I had rated very high at the beginning of the year. They played well in the first matchup I won, and I had them against Southern Illinois. Probably shouldn't have, because that's quite a rivalry. And they looked horrible in that game. They looked bad the next week. And I was like, what is wrong with this team? Is it the quarterback who came from Wisconsin? Not sure if Lombardi was the guy or not. I thought he would be an upgrade there at a MAC school coming from the Big Ten. But the last 2 weeks, they've looked like the team I thought they were going to be. I'm talking about the wrong team. I'm talking about Northern Illinois now. Let's go back to Eastern Michigan. Chris Creighton, the head coach at Eastern Michigan. Let's go back to that. This guy can really coach college football, but he same kind of pattern as Northern Illinois. They didn't play well their first couple games, but the last couple weeks, this team has started to play much better. And again, Kent State, weakest team in the FBS. I'll bet against them every day. I like to usually bet underdogs, but I thought this was a really good spot for Eastern Michigan. I actually have Eastern Michigan 15 over Kent State in this spot.
Well, we are staying, Max and Kenny. Let's do Northern Illinois, Ohio in town. And again, this number feels a little short here, 5.5. It is on the road there at Northern Illinois, but Ohio laying it in a total 45.
Yeah, again, I kind of gave you the breakdown already. Northern Illinois, I won on them the first week, but then they kind of failed for me 2 weeks in a row, laid off them, but their last 2 weeks, they've looked like the team that I thought they'd be. Rocky Lombardo has played, Rocky Lombardi has played far better. It was against Akron last week, and they did have revenge. It was a game I laid five on. That was one of my best plays of the weekend. Had it in the VEASAN Challenge, and the line came down. I was kind of shocked there was money for Akron. Akron was without their quarterback, DJ Irons. He was out, but this is a spot going to be a little bit more difficult because Ohio U has a better team. But I still made Northern Illinois the favorite in this game, and small favorite. I made him 1.5, taking 5.5 here. Thomas Hammack has done an okay job. They had one great year 2 years ago. Did not do well last year, 3-9. So I do have a question mark next to his name, whether he can coach. Usually great coaches, they don't have 3-9 seasons. They can rebuild, and they can coach, and they can get their guys ready, and they can get their guys to a bowl game. So the question mark's out on Hammack, but I think that they do have a team that can beat Ohio this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Hammack. A little bit of inconsistency there in DeKalb. Kenny, I want to go to a game that Patrick and I agree. We think it's the best game of the college football season. The border war between Washington and Oregon. Right now, the Huskies are a 3.5-point favorite. 66.5 on the total. Where do you come out on this one?
You know, we got two really good coaches here. DeBoer came from Fresno, and he really knows how to coach football. But so does Dan Lanning. And Lanning has changed around Oregon, I think, more quickly than DeBoer has because of it's the defensive side of the football. So I bet Oregon here. I took 3 early at the Circa. Now I can take 3.5. I'm kind of surprised that the line went up. I thought people would be on the dog. The big thing is, you know, I love to have the better defensive team. I've got Oregon, the 7th best defensive team in college football. Washington, number 19. So they are a top 25 defense. But Oregon's defense is better. I do trust Bo Nix. I think he's done a good job in this offense. So I think it's going to be a really close game. Obviously, the total says it's going to be a very high-scoring game. It's going to be a fun one to watch, but I'll take the points. I'm going to wait now. I'm going to take more if I can get 4, see if I can get more 4 today or 4 tomorrow.
Yeah, Amal, Kenny, you know, we constantly talk and repeat the idea of the key number being 3 in the NFL, but it's still the key number in college as well. And Amal, as Kenny just mentioned, you're starting to see 3.5s pop up. That was blanketed across the board with Washington 3 yesterday. DraftKings is showing 3, for example. Kenny, Westgate showing 3.5. So that's a big difference right there. And we have seen the total jump 66 up to 67. So that number jumping right now, Kenny.
Yeah, the total worries me a little bit. We got two great quarterbacks, but again, I just mentioned two top 20 defenses, and this game is a major game for both teams. This could be the conference championship. This could be playoff implications for one of these two schools. So they could get tight. They could punt. They could have a turnover in the end zone. You know, many things can happen. You got to have everything go right. You have to have 4 good quarters to get this to go over this number. So I'm leaning a little bit to the under here in this game.
Kenny, real quick.
Mr. White?
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, we got about 30 seconds. When you look at these two teams compared to everyone else nationally, how do you kind of size them up?
I have Oregon. Both are really close to my top 10. I don't have my numbers right in front of me, my power ratings, which you can get those on KennyWhiteSports.com for $20 a month. Identical, same ones that I use on every one of my games. I mean, it's not just ratings there. It's projections for every game. But I have Oregon. I know. I think I have Oregon somewhere at 4 or 5 in the country right there. And Washington is probably 8 or 9, somewhere around that spot.
Well, it's a tremendous tease nonetheless. KennyWhiteSports.com to get those numbers at Katie Whitey, at K Whitey Vegas on Twitter. Kenny, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for the time today. Appreciate it.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it. And it is important to note that she jumped up the 3.5 mall. So, I think you and I are kind of reticent now to discuss the side as far as Washington and Oregon. The deeper I dug into the defensive statistics and, frankly, talking to Andy Staples yesterday and when he kind of was going in on the trenches and Oregon's advantage, scared me a little bit with laying the 3. Certainly not laying the 3.5.
No, for sure. Definitely not. Just can't wait to watch this game.
We'll come back and discuss. Also, you've got UCLA, Oregon State, USC, Notre Dame. That's coming back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings, bet $5. Get $200 in bonus bets instantly right now when you use the promo code SHARP, plus a no-sweat same game parlay every single day over at DraftKings. Again, use that promo code SHARP, DraftKings. The crown is yours. Football Friday here on Sharp Money as we welcome you back. Hope you've had a nice week. Buckle up. It's about to get busy this weekend. Of course, we just had Kenny White on, and we were discussing that Washington-Oregon Pac-12 matchup this weekend. I want to get to the undercard as it's being billed, that being UCLA and Oregon State here in just a bit. But he was talking about the total. Now, again, this number is interesting, Amal, just because it's been jumping a little bit. Yesterday, it was 3 across the board with Washington laying it. Now, shops are starting to show 3.5. So we've got a couple of shops there in town next to you showing 3.5. DraftKings is still 3. We talked about it when we opened up the analysis of the game. DraftKings is 3-118 on the juice. Again, they're headed towards 3.5. So if you're looking to bet with the free $200 over at DraftKings and you want to bet on Michigan and you want to bet on Washington, my advice would be to bet it right now before it hits 3.5. Again, 66 on the total. Kenny White was discussing 4 strong quarters to get over that heightened total of 66. We're showing 67 on the board right now at DraftKings, but you wanted to retort as far as the 4 quarters of scoring.
Yeah, I know you and I are more prone to the over in this game. We both like the over. Here's the thing. Even if you don't have great quarters, you could have high-scoring quarters, and both of these teams are capable of 1- and 2-play drives. That's what's a concern if you're betting the under in this one. Remember last year I mentioned there were 23 points scored at the half. Patrick, they wound up with 71 points, a 58-point second half. Now, you don't want to rely on that to be able to get over the total, but I think both teams are very capable, realistically, of 1 touchdown per quarter at a minimum, and then you throw in 10 additional points along the way, which can happen. 35-point third quarter last year in Eugene between these two teams. And the other thing I will add, both teams go with tempo. And the reason why that's a factor for me, Patrick, is when you get to that second half, these defenses get a little bit more tired. Chasing these quarterbacks, these running backs, and these wide receivers becomes a lot more difficult as the game goes on. And I think you'll see these offenses potentially have the ability to continue to score. I'm not worried about the 66. I get that it's a high number, and you can't have a situation where a team has an 80-yard drive and they fumble the ball at the 1-yard line or something like that. On the flip side, though, I'm telling you right now, Franklin's probably going to have a bomb that goes for over 40, 50 yards in this game. Adunzie or Polk has a big play in this game. Bucky Irving's going to have a couple of runs for more than 20 yards. I just feel like you're going to have to be risk. You have to be willing to take risk in this game. 4th and 3 at the 31-yard line. You're not taking 3 points in this game. You know who's sitting on the other sideline. It's either Penix or Nix. You better get out there and go get 6 points. You're kicking field goals. You're going home with an L tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you're not religious and you're betting the under, I would recommend going to church tomorrow because that is going to be a long 4 quarters. So good luck with that one. One game that I am going to go under, so I'll go over the 66 there, Oregon-Washington. Let's go to the undercard, UCLA-Oregon State. I got a total of 54.5 Corvallis. Probably an underrated setting as far as a home field advantage, Amal. And let's get into this. So Oregon State's laying 3.5. Let's start with Oregon State. And these are 2 offenses. Obviously, UCLA, Oregon State, not as flashy as Oregon and Washington. And Oregon State's coming off a bad performance defensively at Cal, where I believe they gave up 40 in the win at Cal. I think they're going to button up against UCLA. Dante Moore, the freshman, who's been awesome and shown flashes, the UCLA quarterback, why he's the 5-star kid, but he has been prone to turnovers. They're going to have to. UCLA, my assumption is they're going to get Carson Steele, TJ Harden, that ground game going. They need to get that ground game going. And conversely, you know what Oregon State wants to do? It's DJU, and it's the running back, Damian Martinez. However, we've been talking about it all week. UCLA, really probably the most underrated unit coming into the season here in the Pac-12, has been that defense. Their front 7 is ridiculous. Their linebackers are sick. And I think against that run game, Oregon State's going to want to run the football. I think that loaded front 7 for UCLA is going to stand up. Again, these are 2 teams, UCLA and Oregon State, trying to avoid a second league loss to kind of stay in that championship mix. I think this is going to be competitive. It's a good home field. Again, Oregon State was gross defensively against Cal. I think they button up. I'm going to go under the 54.5 here.
I love the under 54.5. I thought this number should have been around 48 or 49. You talked about UCLA, number 8 in scoring defense in college football, just averaging, giving up a little bit more than 12 points per game. Both teams are at 33% in terms of third down conversions by their opponents. They're outstanding in terms of getting off the field on third down. You mentioned also a couple of things. you look at this running tandem for Oregon State. It's outstanding. Fenwick has been tremendous as well. Martinez has been the guy. But I like both of these guys as a combination. And then for me, here's where a little bit of a concern comes in from an offensive standpoint if you like this game over. I love Dante Moore. I think he's going to be a front runner for the Heisman in the next two seasons. Right now, he's an uber-talented player going on the road to a tough spot in Corvallis. We saw it Rice-Eccles at Utah. First play of the game, throws a pick six. That was the only real blemish that they had in that game, and that turned out to be the difference in that football game. And we talked. I just mentioned, Patrick, in the last sequence, talking about Oregon-Washington, you can't kick field goals. To me, this is a game, when you have opportunities, you better take the 3 points. I think points are going to be at a premium in this one. You're going to rely on defense. Special teams play defense. I think the Bruins' defense is going to make Uiagalelei uncomfortable. You don't want to be in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 if you're Oregon State. On the flip side, if you're the Bruins, you don't want to be in that same scenario. I am completely on board with you on this one. I think this number comes down. Look, it's like West Virginia yesterday for me. Not as strong as a bet as it was the Mountaineers, but if I lose on the Mounties, I make that play 100 times out of 100. I'm going to tell you right now, Patrick, I'm 100 times out of 100 on 54.5 in the under here. I don't get where the points are coming from against an elite UCLA defense and a very good Oregon State defense and a team that wants to run the football. Maybe there's some big plays and explosive plays here, and I'm wrong, but I got to tell you, I'm going to live and die on this under here.
Yeah, totally agree with you. And it's an Oregon State defense that got embarrassed. Up, down, got embarrassed at Cal. I think they button up. And Dante Moore, you mentioned the pick to open up the game. That kid is going to be a stud. UCLA, let's start talking about the Pac-12 next year. Whoops, too soon. However, I think that is going to be a hell of a football team next year. Bring back a lot of pieces defensively. Dante Moore, another year of seasoning. He is tremendous. He's freakishly athletic, a 5-star kid, but like you mentioned, prone to turnovers. So I do like, again, a couple of shops showing 54 on the total with UCLA and Oregon State. You can find a 54.5. We'll go under. Please go ahead.
No, just real quick, finish the point on the Pac-12 you mentioned. This reminds me of the Big 12 in college basketball last year. UCLA, Oregon State, and Washington State, we don't even talk about these teams and Utah, and there's still three other teams we haven't even mentioned.
That's so true. And let's get to one of them. Let's kind of sneak this in. USC Notre Dame, that's a 10-21 matchup. Both teams slipped in the polls. The USC slip after a win against Arizona should have been a loss. And then Notre Dame, a brutal schedule, a loss at Louisville. USC, that offense was gross. I'm sorry. Caleb Williams, a little magic late, but he wasn't very efficient throughout that Arizona matchup. And Notre Dame, look, they don't have a path at this point to a college football playoff. So to beat a rival in a spot like this would be huge for them. Notre Dame's laying 2.5. I do see a shot moving to 3 in town, right where you sit. We got 60.5 on the total.
Yeah, I don't know if this is necessarily as big of a game for Lincoln Riley, but I think it's an important game for both head coaches, particularly Marcus Freeman. Can't go to 3 losses if you're Notre Dame. 4th consecutive week playing an undefeated ranked opponent. Now this time at home again, as Ohio State was 3 weeks ago. Great opportunity here. Look, the 2 best players in this game are Sam Hartman and Caleb Williams, but I got to tell you, the 2 most important players in this game are going to be Audric Estime and a Dowd for USC, the tailback. I just think when you look at what they're capable of doing, it's going to be crucial. I think if you're Notre Dame, Estime's got to have a big game, at least 120 on the ground, control the clock, allow Hartman to make the plays with his legs and his arm when necessary, but you rely on the running game here. Patrick, I didn't bet this game. I can't take Notre Dame in this particular spot, but I just have a gut feeling they're going to pull off the upset here. I don't know where you come out, what you see in this one, but this is another one like the Oregon-Washington game. Sit back and can't wait for this one.
Your boy Kyle McCord, the Notre Dame defense, which now – it could be gassed. Needed a stop, couldn't get it. Jack Plummer, who's a journeyman, couldn't really stop him. Hartman, what did he have a pick going into that Louisville game where he had 3? Duke, Riley Leonard with the ankle got hurt. They should have won that game. Notre Dame, to me, Estime is a stud. So is Hartman. Yeah. Outside of that, I think there's going to be points. I hate to go just like we did with Oregon and Washington and say over. I think this is going to be a thriller with ebbs and flows. That defense, specifically the trenches for USC, is just not very good at all. Yeah. Notre Dame's going to score, but USC is going to score as well. I can find a 59.5 as far as a total in the market. But again, this is not a good USC defense. Like, Arizona was the better team on Saturday night.
But there's no question about it. And Marshawn Lloyd, who I meant earlier, and he's going to be tremendous. But a couple things to remember the Notre Dame defensively. They did give up 24 to NC State. Fine, you're going to give up 30-plus against Notre Dame. But on the flip side, Ohio State had three red zone opportunities before that last touchdown and only scored 3 points.
Fair.
That's not happening with Caleb Williams and company.
No, Caleb Williams. And again, if you're a USC fan, you love the fact that he was inefficient and didn't play great
absolutely.
This past Saturday because he has something to prove. Obviously, chasing a Heisman at Notre Dame, the stage is going to be huge. I'm excited about that matchup as well. 2.5, 3 on the number, 60 on the total. We're coming back with Samich here on Sharp Money.